Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, what do you think of when you hear the word sacrifice? There are a lot of
different things you could think about that come to mind. First thing I thought about was Veterans Day and all those who served in the military. And that, of course, is a great definition of sacrifice. People have risked a lot and been in harm's way so that we can have our great freedoms, our economy. Sometimes we think of sacrifices we've had to make in our budgets and are still making right now. Going out to eat may mean pizza or sandwiches rather than a steak. But sometimes, you know, I think we're a little bit removed from the impact of that word, what that word means, sacrifice. Are we disconnected from how powerful that word really, really is? As we read the epistle lesson in Hebrews, God is asking us to consider the reality of what a sacrifice really is. And it's not pretty, not pretty at all. Today we will better appreciate the seriousness of our sin and what atonement actually cost. Today we will appreciate what it means to have Jesus, be our ultimate joy and sacrifice, and to live out our lives in gratitude for what he has done for us. What his sacrifice really meant for us. At the beginning of our reading there in Hebrews, every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. You would not have wanted, I guarantee you, you would not have wanted to be a part of the altar guild at this time. You thought the occasional wine stains or a little spill of oil was bad. In those days, there were constant animal sacrifices happening at the temple. There were daily sacrifices in the morning and in the evening. In addition to these, there were weekly Sabbath sacrifices. There were the yearly sacrifices for burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, guilt offerings, sin offerings, and grain offerings. And the one thing they all had in common was blood, and lots of it. The temple was a gruesome and grisly place to be. Animals were always being slaughtered and their blood drained out, because the blood represented the very life of that animal, and it was the lifeblood that had to be used in the sacrifice. God's people, covered in blood, in the blood of sacrifice, promised to follow him. But there was only one problem. They didn't keep their promise. They didn't keep their promise at all. So what happens? They needed to be covered with sacrificial blood again and again and again and again when they break the covenant, in order to be restored into their relationship with God. As Hebrews says, the sacrifice didn't have the power to totally take away sin. It had to be repeated again and again. On the Day of Atonement, a bull was sacrificed, was always sacrificed. The sacrifice of the bull was made for the high priest alone, and the goat was sacrificed for the sins of the people. High priest had to do something so frightful, so scary, that he needed all the blood of the bull to cover him. He had to go, a sinful human being, into the place that no human was allowed to go. The high priest would dare to walk up the steps of the temple through the holy place and take a deep breath and pull back a heavy curtain and walk into the Holy of Holies, the physical place where the name of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, and the holiness of the Lord lived, a place where no sin or sinner could possibly survive. So the high priest would throw incense on the fire so his vision would be clouded. And with much trepidation, he would take the blood from the bull of the sacrifice and sprinkle it upon himself. There would have been blood everywhere. The hope of the high priest was that God would recognize the blood sacrifice, the recognition of the priest's sinfulness, and the payment for his sins, and allow this man to enter into his presence, enter the most holy place, to go beyond the curtain and live. So in the midst of all this blood-soaked, horrible scene, we witness the beauty of God's mercy towards sinners, that the sins of man could be placed upon another, upon a beast that would shed its own blood in place of the sinners. But the work of the priests was never finished. Year after year, week after week, day after day, sacrifices had to be made. As Hebrews stated, every priest stands daily in his service because sacrifices had to be made over and over again as people broke the covenant over and over again, and the relationship with God needed to be restored over and over again. The sacrificial system was a blessing, but it was never meant to be the last word in God's plan to reconcile his people unto himself. God's plan for reconciling his people to himself was never meant to stop at the sacrifice of bulls, goats, sheep, or any other animal, or any sacrifice that would need to be repeated over and over again. God's ultimate plan was to defeat sin and its consequences once and for all with one ultimate and final sacrifice. God's ultimate plan was made by a new blood covenant with his people, an eternal covenant to bring about a new and greater covenant would require a new and greater blood sacrifice, a sacrifice so huge, so powerful, so perfect that no one could provide it. God himself would provide it. In the little town of Bethlehem, God did just that. The ultimate and final sacrifice was born for us. A baby, God's own son, fully man yet fully God, came into this world in order to bear the sins of the world. Now you begin to see the unspeakable horror, the stunning shock of Christ's mission. He came to cover us with his blood. He came to be the punishment for our sins in our place. He came to suffer the justice and the wrath of God on our behalf. He came to be the sacrifice of sacrifices. And a sacrifice it certainly was. Jesus was beaten, torn apart by whips and fists and crowns of thorns. His life-giving blood flowed from his body. As Jesus was pierced for our transgressions with nails of cold iron, his life-giving blood spilled out. A horrible scene, a very horrible scene that not one of us could bear to look at. But this bloody scene is also beautiful. It's beautiful, for in the midst of this violence, in this horror, with all the blood all over the place, we see the love of God. We see the love of God for his people, the love that God has for you and for me. So now, we have a gift, a wonderful gift. We have confidence to stand before God, not because of us, but because of His sacrifice, of Christ's sacrifice made for us. But let's never forget the cost. Let's never take for granted the horror that won us so great a gift. The blood that cleansed us of every stain. The life given in place of ours, and the resurrection that is ours also because of God's grace. It cost God everything. And yet, it's absolutely free to us. We are blessed that we don't serve God in order to atone for our sins or in order to win God's favor. No. We serve God because we know that He has already paid for our sins. He has already made us His children. He has already given us the promise of standing in His presence in the Holy of Holies for all eternity. There is nothing left to do, nothing that's left undone. But what we do get to do is to love God, to praise God, and to love one another as those who have been covered head to toe with His blood. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.